You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. On this episode, Stephanie Strange has been kind enough to hop on and co-host with me. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually have an acquaintance of yours on the podcast tonight. And since you two know each other, I'll let you do the honors for doing the intro. I guess I could have told you that ahead of time, but surprise.
Well, first, Swasi, do you want to introduce yourself first, and then we'll go into...
Sure. I'm Swasti, also a fan of the supernatural. Also have been involved with some supernatural, and that's why we're here today.
Stephanie, how do you guys know each other?
It is an interesting story. I made this video, What's Your Creepy Childhood Experience? And Swasti has stitched it, but during that time, little did she know, I was auditioning to work for the Unsolved channel for BuzzFeed. And so when I saw that, like, she stitched it, I was like, is this the test? And she had no idea. And then years later, we're at VidCon and I bring the story up. And she's like, I had no idea.
None, literally no idea.
Yeah. Well, we also worked together on the Unsolved channel. And so I know for a fact she loves paranormal and true crime and she kicks butt at it, so. Yeah, thank you,
Stephanie, as do you, obviously. That's why we connect.
And we grew the channel. I'm going to give credit to both of us. We grew that channel.
Okay? We did. We did. I ended up, like, obviously not contributing as much as I wanted to, but, like, listen, it's those first formative videos, right? You get it rolling mm-hmm. on TikTok. And it was a fun time. I'm glad we got to, like, hang out and be in our meetings together and brainstorm. And it was just a good time.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I just still can't believe I, like, stitched that video on happenstance one day. And it was my husband who sent it to me. He was like, you got to stitch this video with, like, your experience. And, like, it was Stephanie's video. It's crazy.
Well, it's interesting because you stitched that video, my video blew up even further. Like, people from the East started, like, stitching it. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, but thank you. It's so funny how we both unintentionally have helped each other and, like, just worked really well with, like, our dynamic and collaboration. So it's really cool.
Yeah, just awesome. That was some universe stuff. And it was just amazing how it panned out. Even this right now, and, like, you being here, I was like, oh my gosh, this is Stephanie and I, we're just, like, meant to be.
It'd be a fun surprise. Once I talked to Stephanie, she's like, oh yeah, we know each other. I was like, okay, I'm going to roll the dice and not tell Swasti about this and just have her, like, pop on. And
no, my heart, like, jumped out of my chest. I was like, oh my God, it's Stephanie. She's here.
It'd be so funny if, like, your screen just went doo doo doop and you just
bye. Roll on out.
Yeah. Like, I actually hated her from Buzz.
I could never. You were awesome. You are awesome. You're the best.
You're awesome too.
And audience, if you want to check out their online content on TikTok, you can check out Stephanie at Stephanie_Strange. And Swasti, what is your TikTok if our fans want to check out all your awesome content?
Yeah, mine is I am Swasti Shukla. And as Stephanie knows, I have a podcast myself that I started that I've been really slow on, you guys, this year, but it's Ectoplasm and Evil. You can find everywhere. Season 2 will be coming out soon, though.
One thing we love to find out on the podcast is kind of where people fall in what we call the Believo-meter.
Ooh.
It sounds super gooby. It is. Zero meaning you don't believe in ghosts, and 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
100. They so exist.
A scale breaker. All right. Those are always good episodes. Well, and so from that, like, where in your life story, like, what propelled you into being, you know, kind of a steward of the supernatural?
Oh my God, this is such a good question. Let's start back in elementary school. I was scared of all things paranormal and supernatural. I, at the time, didn't believe in it, but it was scary to me. And then I was not popular in school. There were a couple kids who were like not very nice to me. And there was a specific set of girls who decided that their prank on me would be telling me that ghosts were real. And I was like, that's just not possible. And they told me this like scary story of a ghost at like a local Toys R Us and like a face in the walls. And I was like terrified. So I went home and I was like, Mom, like these two girls, they told me the story about this ghost. And she was like, ghosts don't exist. It's fine. But I was like, I don't know, like, maybe I don't believe that anymore. Maybe they do. So in my classroom, there was a bookshelf and we would have like a reading hour every Thursday. So when that Thursday came up, I like was looking around the bookshelf and like I saw a book about ESP and I pulled that book off the shelf and I started reading it and reading about everybody's like ESP encounters. And I was like, this is crazy. And then the week after, I found a book about hauntings and ghosts and I started reading that. And I was like, this is also crazy, but these are like real accounts. So then I got really into the paranormal, the supernatural and everything. And I started going down rabbit holes, going to the library, checking out books, talking to other people. And it was from this thing where these two girls were trying to bully me that I actually found like what I fell in love with later on, like all things horror, all things supernatural, all things true crime. So it's like, wow. Shout out, you guys. Like, honestly, you kind of made me. You kind of did.
Well, quick question. So I don't know if everyone knows what ESP is. Can you explain to the audience?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm not remembering what it stands for. Stephanie, you want to fill that in for me?
It's the sports like, channel, right?
No. ESPN. Yeah. You guys, I should have like, I did not think to look into, because it's been a long time since I've gone down that rabbit hole, but it's like, it's your connection with the other side or like time jumps. It's usually like someone from somewhere else, like someone who may have passed away, like giving you a sign that they're here is what I remember from the book.
Yeah. And like the abbreviation stands for extrasensory
perception.
Perception. There we go.
Yes. Okay. I remembered sensory and perception and I was like, I can't remember the E. I can't remember it.
Well, that's really interesting how kind of a negative turned into a positive for you then. Do you ever tag them on TikTok? What's up, Becky? Check me out now.
No, I've never done it. I don't even know if they remember anymore. It's like kind of funny. They don't get any credit for what they did.
It's always the bullies that like somehow magically forget that they ever bullied you or anything like that. And you're like, okay, Becky, you sure did. You spat in my face. How do you forget that?
Right. Like, come on. That was a traumatic moment. I will never forget the fear that I felt listening to that haunted Toys R Us story. Guys, it stayed with me for so long.
It's one of the things that I think we all learn growing up, or you know, as we all have become adults, is certain moments in our lives mean so much more to us than they do to other people, whether those moments are positive or negative.
For sure.
Anyway, that's just a side tangent. I apologize. I'm getting ready to go to a ghost conference. I'm flying out early in the morning and I've had a stomach bug since like 3. It's TMI. I won't go into the TMI details. Just use your imaginations. But don't use your imaginations. My head seems like it's swimming. It's because it's been in my stomach all day.
Okay. So Swasti, you talked about that experience of like school and everything, but can you tell us more about like that timeline? Cause I know there's that infamous childhood story that you had. So can you share that? That story is
okay. Before I share, that actually fell before my believing in ghosts. So it fell before this bullying and everything, because I was in Texas at that time and this happened in Northern California.
Wow.
So it's like, it's crazy, right? Like, yeah, that's why it was like so mind-blowing to me like later on.
Can you share that story? Of course.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if like we wanted to get into it right away, but we can do that. Here we go. I'm going to set the scene. This was in Texas. My parents had this house built. So it was like nobody lived there before. It was just a brand new house. And then we moved in. So when we moved in, it was a two-story house. There was like a foyer and a staircase. I'm like trying to map it out with my hands so that you can kind of see what I'm talking about. There's a foyer, you enter, a staircase, and then up there, there's a hall. And then you have like a bunch of bedrooms, including my sister's bedroom, my parents' bedroom, my bedroom. And then from the foyer, you also like have a hall going straight. And then back here is the living room, the kitchen, all of that good stuff. So I was playing on top of the staircase with like my toy trucks or whatever, because that's what I was into as a kid. And my parents put my sister to sleep in her crib in her room. So I'm like playing, they like walk downstairs, they go through the foyer, through the hallway, and now they're watching TV in the living room. So I'm sitting at the top of the staircase, and then I look down and I see my sister on the floor crawling kind of toward the bottom step of the staircase. So I'm just like, oh, that's interesting. Like, what's she doing down there by herself? And then I like remember, because this was probably about half an hour later and I'd been distracted the whole time. I was like, wait a second, my parents just put her to sleep in the crib. So what is she doing down there?
Oh my gosh.
And then I was like, I observed, and she was white and had bigger, blacker eyes. So I was like, okay, this is like really scary, actually. So I started screaming, and my parents came running to the foyer, and they're like, Swasti, what's wrong? And I was like, Mom, Dad, Sneha's at the bottom of the staircase. What's she doing at the bottom of the staircase? And they were like, what are you talking about? There's no one there. So I look back, there is no one there. So my parents take me to my sister's room. They point her out in the crib. They're like, look, she's like sleeping. I mean, they checked my temperature to make sure I wasn't sick, because like I used to get sick a lot in Texas, and then like I had other hallucinations or whatever, but I wasn't sick. I was in the right frame of mind, completely healthy. And then this is kind of like a time jump to when I was 18. Every few years I would go to India and visit my grandparents and my family and like just have a fun family trip. So I was 18, and this was like going to be one of my last trips because of college, and I wouldn't really have that summertime to go because I'd be working or whatever else. So I went there for a good chunk of time with my mom, sister, and dad. And one of the days, my mom, sister, grandma, and I were all sitting on my grandma's bed, and my grandma was braiding my sister's hair. And then as she's braiding her hair, it parts to, I think, the left from the back. And she looks at my mom and she goes, oh, Ritu, that's really interesting. If the other one had survived, it would have been a girl. And I was like, what are you saying? And my mom's tells me, she looks at me and she tells me, you know, I never told you this before, but I miscarried your sister's twin. And when she said that, I mentally time jumped back to Texas, and I realized that what I had seen was the ghost of my sister's dead twin.
Oh my God.
So yeah.
Oh my, yeah. I'm like, oh, my
ghost story.
It still makes me gasp.
Well, we have the title for this episode now, so that's fun. Goodness. That's an intense first paranormal experience.
Well, you said something that kind of struck to me, and I wanted to follow up on this. You said you would get sick all the time in that house. Do you think that had anything to do with the supernatural, or maybe like you just, maybe it was just other things happening at that time?
That's a good question. I actually never thought about that before. I've never thought about that. I guess it's possible. That was the only time I saw this. So like maybe, maybe not. It was also really hot in Texas, and like, I don't do very well in the heat. Okay. So like that could have been part of it too. But yeah, this time I wasn't sick. I wasn't sick for this. My parents were like, she must be, but she's not. So
like, did your health get better when you left Texas too?
It did. Well, yeah, it did. I'm fine. And then we moved to NorCal and I was completely fine.
I remember like, okay, Joey King talked about how she filmed like The Conjuring, and how filming that, she got really sick. And then as soon as everything was done, she was fine. She didn't have like blood problems anymore, and she didn't have blood problems prior to that. So it just made me think of what you were saying.
That's a really good set of points. And now I'm going to sit here and I'm going to think about that, because that's like, I never thought about that before. Because yeah, I would like lie in my bed and the room would look like it's getting bigger, and I would just like start screaming, and my parents would be like, oh, she's sick. You know, let's take her temperature. There was one night I vomited every hour on the hour. This is also TMI. We're back in that. I would wash my hands after every vomit, and like my dad would give me a shirt.
And I'd be like, Dad, like, maybe it'll be over now because I like washed my hands. I like changed my clothes and it would happen again. So now I'm like, that's interesting.
There's people that talk about like certain molds or dust or things like that. And that's why like some skeptics try to link mold to like supernatural phenomenon. But then also, like, I still think about Joey King and how why was she getting these like blood problems all of a sudden filming The Conjuring out of all things? Exactly like how the character, the mom's character was dealing with when in the actual movie.
Right.
She's sick. I'm like, oh no, man, I think there's something supernatural there.
This house was brand new, so there wasn't any mold in it.
Well, Swasti, you mentioned that the spirit of what appeared to be, you know, a baby crawling had black eyes. And, yeah. You know, I know you've done a lot of your own research and storytelling just based on your social media and your TikTok channel. So I'm sure you're familiar with the tropes of, you know, black eyed kids and that thing, or that, you know, that whole side of supernatural. So once you found out that, you know, your mom had miscarried what would have been the twin to your sister, how certain are you that you saw was the twin versus maybe something portraying itself, you know, as a, because I just wonder, because people really get bogged down the black eyed children thing, you know, and they say like, oh, it's a, you know, it's trying to deceive you. It's this, that, and the other. So where do you kind of fall on that experience related to what people think and believe about black eyed children?
That's actually a great question. And I have thought about it and I'm like, huh, I didn't like wait, right, to see what was going to happen because it was coming up to me, but then I called for my parents. But there are times where I'm like, what if it wasn't, what if it was one of the black eyed children? Like, I don't know. And now Stephanie's brought up this point about the house and my constantly being sick. I'm like, huh, who knows? Really? Who knows? I guess I fall in the middle. I lean more toward my sister's dead twin. I never really saw that manifestation again.
Well, you know, just came to mind too, Noah, you brought up the whole thing with like black eyed kids. I thought about that infamous like Twitter thread that like went viral where like this elderly couple allegedly allowed the kids to come into the house and then they got sick. And I'm like, and I'm asking if you got sick. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait a dang minute.
That's a lot. It's creepy. Yeah.
What does your sister think about that? Have you relayed the story to her?
Yes, I have. And she like, it's funny because she'll be like, how come I never saw her? I would love to. And it was really scary. So I don't know that you would actually love to. Like, it's all fun and games and theory, but it's a whole different thing when you see it, you know, your realization. It's like, you're just like looking at it, but then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, like what is happening here?
When you went through that or down that rabbit hole, when your bullies tried to convince you that the Toys R Us was haunted, did you reflect on that experience at all while you were kind of doing your own research and reading all these books?
You know what? It's interesting. I didn't like think about it ever in that aspect again till I found out about the miscarriage many years later. And then like I connected all the dots. It's weird. It never once occurred to me like that maybe it could have been supernatural up until I got this confirmation.
From that time of you having that experience in the home to you turning 18 or you finding out when you were 18, did you have any other paranormal experiences during that time period?
During that time, I didn't. Interestingly enough, like I've had some since, but during that time, it was pretty quiet, which is why I was like, huh, like, you know, and then when I found out about it, I was like, wow, that's wild.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
And what does your family think about you kind of embracing the macabre, the paranormal, true crime?
They don't get it. They don't like it.
You had that ready to fire from the hip.
No, they're just like, what is this about? Like, this is so like horror movies. My dad hates horror movies. My mom, I can get her to watch them with me, but he's just like, what is this about? Like, what is this fascination you have with this?
You know, both you and Stephanie have such big followings. It's so interesting that, God, I'm such a kid from the 90s, but like parents just don't understand. But it's true. I told you guys that I'm doing this ghost conference in Oregon this weekend, and this is the first time for me to be able to do a live episode recording or whatever in front of an audience. And so I was super stoked because it's something I've been putting out in the universe since like day one of doing this podcast.
And so when I got booked for it and everything, I told my parents, and as my dad has gotten older, he's 15 years older than my mom, he's really supportive about everything, which is, that's a whole nother bag of worms. But bag of worms? Who has bag of worms? I don't know. You know, he thinks it's so cool that just we live in a time where you can create something and people can ingest it and, you know, whatever. Whereas my mom, I was like, yeah, mom, there, you know, I'm going out to, I've never been to Oregon before. I'm going to get to go to Portland, then Seaside, Oregon, and then Seattle. All this stuff from the podcast. And she was like, well, what's it for? I was like, well, it's a ghost conference. And she was like, so ghost people are going to be there? And I was like, well, cool. Yeah, I mean, technically I'm a ghost people, you know, like they just don't get it, you know. Anyway, I'm using this as therapy now. So
I your shirt though, I am ghost people. That's the shirt. Yes. That's your shirt. That should be your.
I am ghost people. Absolutely.
That would be so funny, actually.
Yeah, I like that.
Just emblazoned.
That. Yeah. As you got older, what were your experiences like? Were they still rooted in like a heaviness? Were they just like bump in the night stuff? What kind of happened?
There was a family trip that we took to Alcatraz, and before going, I like researched the haunted like spots, because obviously, you know, I want to maybe see or feel something. And when I got there, there was like, I think it was like cell like 23B or something like that, or 13D something, and it was a cell that like was known to be haunted. So I asked the tour guide, I was like, hey, like, you know, can we see that cell? He was like, no, it's like been closed off, but I can take you to like the hospital wing. And I was like, yeah, let's go there. Because like, I'm sure we'll find something scary in the hospital wing. So we got this like private tour to the hospital wing. And it was like really cool. But like, definitely the temperature drop there was like, you could tell, you know, like there's stuff that happened here. There's people lingering here. And then they were talking about like a specific prisoner. And I think like the nickname was like Seagull or something like that. And they were like sharing the stories of this inmate. And like, as they were doing it, there were no windows in this cell, but there was a chilling breeze that swept through, and like a feather like that just appeared out of nowhere almost. And it just like, whew, and fell down. And I was like, yo, that's definitely like Seagull, or like whoever, like the gull, like whoever it was, that prisoner sending some sort of a sign. Cause wow. Like, it was, yeah. And that was wild.
The most interesting thing about that hospital wing is that I know a author, he does like the local paranormal stories and stuff like that. And when I interviewed him at Midsummer Scream last year, he talked about Alcatraz and how I believe the hospital wing is where the chair got pushed back on one of the guys that was with him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You're bringing that up because I'm like, I'm pretty sure he brought that up.
It was scary. There was some weird stuff there for sure.
Oh, I bet.
And then after that, I think this is funny, Stephanie, because there was that medium who you interviewed, and that same medium was at my friend's bachelorette. So like we went around the room, you know, we had like proper seance, and she safely lifted the veil. And literally as this happened, by the way, this isn't an Airbnb. So like, there's no way she could have like come here or done anything beforehand. Okay. This is like a rented property. She doesn't know any of us. So she lifts the veil. And after she lifts it, I kid you not, at the same second, a bunch of stuff in the kitchen falls over, and it's stuff that was like firmly planted. The cabinets fly open. The porch light turns on. There's no one out there that we can see. And we literally hear like a disembodied voice. So like all of us are just like, wait, what is going on? And there were people in there who didn't believe in ghosts, obviously. And everyone was just like spooked. Cause it was like, this is like,
oh,
yeah, like this, it was wild. It was a wild experience. And then we're all going through the room. We had to like imagine who we wanted to see. We wanted like to come contact us, and everyone picked their person and focused. And like, it was when she was like, when she would call out and bring people forward, like people would claim the people. And then, I mean, I wanted to see my dog or hear from my dog because I haven't seen him in 5 years. So it'd be nice to hear, you know, what's going on in his afterlife. And when she said that there, like right before she said that there was a dog, a few of my friends felt a chill on their shins. And then at that, like after that happened, like felt that. She was like, and they didn't say anything yet. She was like, did someone call a dog? Because I think I have like a dog here. And they were just like, oh my God, we felt the chill on all of our shins. And I was like, yeah, I called my dog. And then the questions that like I wanted answered, because, you know, I didn't tell her what they were per se, but she was like, yeah, like, do you have a new dog? And like, she didn't have the time. She wouldn't have had, she didn't know I was there. She didn't like have the time to research my life. And we did have a second dog. And she like asked like, oh, are you helping train the dog? And he was like, no. Are you giving him company? Yes. Oh, there's like a blue toy or a yellow toy around you. Like, was there a yellow toy that was special in his life? Like, yeah, he had a duck toy and like sits on top of his little urn in our house. And it was just one of those moments where I really just burst out crying, because I was like, this is crazy. She shouldn't have known all this, but she did.
I picture saying dead twin feels so insincere. I just picture the dead twin sister being like, all right, here I go. And then the dog like, coming running by, being dog. Like, yep, peace.
Here we come again.
It's funny, right? Like, yeah, like I didn't think about her. I thought about my dog.
Like, I don't want to see that again.
Yes. No, I don't want to hear from it. Nothing.
I have a question though, because earlier you said like your parents don't get it. And I know like it made me think about like my mom and I, like mm-hmm. my family and stuff like that. Do you think, and this is just like a question in general, because I've had conversations with my friends about this too. Do you think it's like a cultural thing that they don't like, what, how did like in your culture, and can you give a backstory, like what your ethnicity is, and mm-hmm. like, is there a spectrum of people that believe in it? There's a spectrum that isn't, like, how is it like in your like culture?
Totally. I'm Indian. And I feel like it really depends on the region you're in, because there's so many different ways people like believe. I think for me, it's not even necessarily that like my mom doesn't believe and my dad doesn't believe. It's like they just would rather not, you know, open up to that. Mm-hmm. And they also believe that souls pass on and they leave, right? They go to like where they're supposed to go. And then they prepare for, because we believe in reincarnation, they prepare for reincarnation. So they like do what they're supposed to do. And like they don't interact with us like that after a year, I believe, because there is a year in which you need to perform like the last rites properly and then they leave, but they're here for like X amount of days, but they properly transition after 1 year. And like, I think that's part of it. They're like, well, they're supposed to be, you know, moving on, but there are like people who believe in like, we have supernatural creatures. And they believe in those. So it's like, yeah. I think my parents are more like, they just like, they'd rather not, they'd rather not open up that can of worms, the bag of worms, as we've mentioned in this episode. But I think that's what it is with them. My dad, I think for him, it's potentially like a bit of fear, because he doesn't like anything surrounding death.
Yeah.
So it's like, he just doesn't like to like talk about it or hear about it or anything. So I think for, it's like more of a defense mechanism is kind of where they're coming from.
That's understandable, because you pointed out something too, like, since I know for us, like, so I'm Salvadorian, mm-hmm. and I know for some Central Americans, like, we have to do this thing where like when someone passes, we have to pray for their journey through the other side.
Right.
So I'm wondering, like, and I'm not saying that you guys didn't, but like, is there something like that that you guys do when someone passes, that there's like a prayer or something that you guys do to like make sure there's like a safety journey to the other side?
Yeah, totally. There's a big prayer. The whole family is invited. You have a priest. They come and they like conduct the ceremony. And there's like a bunch of things you have to do. We also believe in cremation, and that's a big part of it. And then you're not supposed to keep the ashes. You're supposed to like let them go in the Ganga River in India, or any river really, to return them to where they need to be. And that way they're no longer bound to the earth.
Oh my God.
Like, and then you light, like, I believe you light a candle or like some sort of an oil. My dad was explaining this, because my grandpa passed away 2 years ago now. And like, it's a process. And then you have like the 1 year ceremony after, which is another prayer. And you have to like invite certain family members, and you do a very specific prayer. It's not like you're run of the mill. It's like the ushering on prayer.
I'm wondering, since like, I know that your sister was a twin, would they have to still do that? Is that a possibility that that's why she showed up?
That's actually a great question. And I should ask and follow up on that. I don't know if they did that.
Just to go back for a second to the medium that you guys had perform, would you call that a seance? What would the technical term be for what the medium did there?
I think she herself called it a seance.
So that seance take place. Now, when the cabinets like bursted open and all that, did she seem surprised or was she just like, yeah, I'm the real deal?
I think it was that. She was just like, oh, this is pretty normal. You know,
dude,
just like,
what a life.
Right?
Like I could never even pretend to be normal after that. I just walked through the supermarket and be like, you want to mess with me? Okay, and snap my fingers and milk flies off the car.
Can I say the name of the meeting? Are you comfortable with me saying the name?
I personally don't mind it.
Her name is Patty Negri, and she's also on Ghost Adventures, just so you know, Noah. That's why she's so like open to all that stuff. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. And obviously you got some really cool content. One of the things that I enjoyed looking or listening to on TikTok was you were talking about specific, and when you and Stephanie were talking, Stephanie mentioned it too, you were talking about specific lore or supernatural like from India. Can you tell us about some of that you feel like more people in the States should know about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most interesting ones, there's this one that's called Pisach, and it's a blood-sucking entity, and it like sucks your good vibes basically, and it basically drives everybody crazy, and that's its goal. It feeds off your good energy. So then there's Churel, who's basically just a forlorn ghost. And this is a forlorn ghost. And this is interesting to me because, you know, she's typically in like some sort of white fit, and it's crossed over because my husband's Guyanese and they also believe in Churel because Guyanese were brought over to Guyana, a lot of them from India as indentured servants. So like they also brought Churel over there. And it's interesting to hear like the evolutions and like the similarities and the differences. To a degree, reminds me a bit of La Llorona. And when I think about that, I'm just like, so many cultures around the world have these entities. Mm-hmm. And it's, you can't just like make that up, right? Like it's got to come from somewhere. And then there was another one that was like a bioluminescent grasshopper. I'm trying to remember the actual like name of it, but it was just like this, they couldn't like really explain what it was. But
Jiminy
like their
cricket,
things,
just
yeah, basically. Basically. And it like would scratch people's faces up and everything. Oh, yeah, it was like an epidemic in this village. And that was like one that I had never heard of, which is why I'm like having a hard time remembering the name. But it was like, oh, there's so many like interesting creatures out there.
As somebody who has invested so much time in the paranormal and had your own experiences, where do you fall on what is causing these experiences? Do you think that it's energy that's still around? Do you think it's actual cognitive entities that are, you know, piercing the veil, so to speak? And, you know, some people have really negative experiences with the supernatural. Do you think that was evil people from life or demons? Or, you know, I'm asking you to explain the supernatural to us. Go.
Right? Like, what do I believe? That's a great question. I do believe energies have like they play a big part in all of this. That's kind of where I come from with it. Like, did you leave in a happy state, or were you like an angry person who passed away? And like, how are you going to bring that energy back to those around you? Like, do you choose to stick? Like, going back to my culture, if you choose to stick around, it's likely because you're not very happy for like longer than like your allotted time slot.
Well, we're kind of up on our hour. I don't want to keep you or either of you too long. I really appreciate your time that you've given the podcast tonight. While we're here, where else would we be if I'm talking to this microphone? Can you tell our audience what they can expect if they check out your supernatural or your supernatural, if they check out your content, and where are the best places for them to do that?
Yeah, I feel like TikTok is my number one spot for all my spooky and evil macabre content. You'll find true crime there. You'll find paranormal stuff there, and you'll find like random nail content and like fun things too. But my main is true crime.
Great. And what is your at?
My
on
handle.
TikTok?
Wow. Yeah. I left that out. It's I am Swasti Shukla.
I called it a handle on another episode. I don't know if Stephanie was on that episode or not, but maybe. Somebody was like, we call that an at now. And I was
oh my
like,
God,
all
what?
Right. Well,
I didn't know that either.
Well, guess what? I turned 40 this year. So fuck me. if our audience was to check out everything you have going on, Stephanie, what's the best place for them to do that?
I'm literally on everything at this point. I'm even on Snap now, but I definitely post regularly on Instagram and TikTok. Stephanie_Strange, STEFFANY.
Girl, spelling it out. Look at that. I'm just like so unprofessional. You get some nail stuff. You get some draw crime.
Swassy, is there anything else you want to plug before we wrap up?
I guess my podcast is coming back at Ectoplasm and Evil. Find out TikTok, Instagram, and obviously you can find me on TikTok and Instagram.
Awesome, audience. Well, make sure you support the people that support us. This has been one of my favorite episodes we've done this year. I had a feeling, just something in my gut told me this would be a good one. And when I was going through your stuff, I was like, who do I want to reach out to co-host this? And Stephanie is such a professional, Mike, and we've gotten to be friends over the years. That chemistry is always so nice. And I love, like, I always tell people, especially when they're new to co-hosting with me, I'm like, just get in there. Cause if you don't, I am going to drive this car all the way to the end. And I just love that Stephanie will be like, Hey,
it's my turn.
You know, because she's so great. So, and then when she was like, yeah, we know each other, I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, this is wild that I asked you. And then, so it just all worked out.
It really did. What a surprise. What a joy to see Stephanie again. I was just like, oh my God, Stephanie. I can't get over the fact that Stephanie.
I'm like, no, what? Are you psychic? Are you psychic? Are you just
truly?
I swear to God, this is your psychic coming out. As I said,
I just have IBS. I don't know. So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
And I'm Stephanie Strange.
I'm Swasti.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.